the May 9th, 2022 board meeting. I'd like to welcome everyone to this meeting of JCSD 1 School Board. I'd like to thank all those in attendance as well as attending by stream. And at this time, everybody stood. Let's take the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Again, I'd like to thank everyone for coming, and of course, as we always talk about, cell phones, please mute or step outside, and since we have a full house, if you feel that you need to have a conversation with the person next to you, I would ask you to step outside, and that can be a distraction to those sitting around you. Roll call, we are missing Randy and Paul. And at this time, do we have any public comment? Okay. So we're on to the written reports or the student videos. That's my fault. I'm still on my budget. May I have a motion to accept the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second. Okay. Discussion.
Madam Chair, I would like to pull employment out of the consent and move it to executive and under the other personnel, please.
Okay.
Clarification, just the employment or the classified rules as well?
I just want the employment to be pulled out.
Thank you.
Do I have to have the second floor? So all those in favor with the amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, thank you. Now we can go to the student video. This will be our last one, and we'll have one more.
Thank you.
Principals. That isn't to say you can't ask questions, so if you have any questions you would like to ask any of the principals, please do so at this time. But we will be highlighting one school this month, and that would be Buffalo High School. So I guess I can start it off. I do have a question for New West. Is Dr. Hansen? See, I've watched you talk. I do have a question. Next year's enrollment, are you going to wait for the Department Ed for your reconfiguration, and are you going on with your
So, I mean, we need to know from them for sure whether we have to go ahead to have ninth grade. But we're having those conversations with parents and students so they can start to make plans. So we're scheduling interviews and just letting them know that we haven't got a final answer yet. But we're waiting with bated breath to hear from WDE.
But you will go forward with it this semester? This coming semester.
For the fall semester, the plan is if we get to go ahead to look at what the needs are, 9 through 12, and to potentially offer that. But there's a lot of factors in that, including staffing-wise. We haven't had 9th grade before, so we just have to make sure that we're able to offer quality programming for that grade, too.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for any of the other principals, please? Okay, I'll turn it over to, I always just call you Mr. Gibb.
Please.
It is your turn.
All right. Yes, I did provide you with a board report. I won't spend a whole lot of time on that information, try to give you some additional stuff. As Madam Chairman said, it's a busy time. If you included in the board report is sort of the spring DHS timeline, which is just one thing after another. Most recently, we finished up the ACT suite. So this year, we offered the ACT suite to freshmen, sophomores, and juniors. The juniors obviously taking the full-blown ACT. Sophomores and freshmen taking a practice ACT, part of that ACT suite. I've used it in the past. The research behind it is very predictive of ACT scores. And it gives students and teachers specific things, gaps in their learning that we can work on. So excited that we were able to do that. So we set up a morning of assessment, and for the juniors, it's a big deal. And we tried to give freshmen and sophomores sort of that same feel, although their assessment is a little bit short. And we treated them a little bit differently, obviously, but good stuff. So that's been just a huge thing. We also had YTOP folded into that as well, and so it was just a week and a half of a lot of testing at Buffalo High School. Our next biggest thing, obviously, is commencement and graduation. So coming up May 22nd, so we've got 63 seniors in our senior class. We have 62 who will participate in graduation on May 22nd. Our 63rd is one of our life skills kids, and so that student can be with us till they're 21. So we are in great shape. Would invite you tomorrow, so the busyness continues. We have University of Wyoming signing day tomorrow. So they come up, we have take our part of our advisory, bring all those kids, everybody into the auditorium. We've got 18 students committed to UW from out of this class of kids. So Chef Sam and the culinary kids have made some cakes, and we're going to celebrate UW signing day tomorrow.
What time is that?
9:30. So we would look forward to any all of you coming to participate. We'll start in the auditorium, and then we'll move into the commons. And it'll just be a great deal of fun. When we talk about UW, so our class of 2022, those college-bound kids, they had their Hathaway scholarship opportunity amounted to almost $70,000. So if you look at everything that could have been awarded, it was close to $70,000. Obviously, not all of those kids are accepting Hathaway, and not all of those kids are staying in state, but that's pretty impressive. It's a pretty high-powered group of kids. I would also, and I did put this in, but this is kind of a fun deal. In your board report, you'll see this thing on the VHS CTE showcase. This is coming up on the 17th, so next Tuesday. It's what we call the CTE show and sale. So we'll be doing burgers and dinner for anybody who wants to come. We'll just be out back grilling, and I'll have a donation bucket, but we're just going to feed people for nothing. Kids and teachers will be showing off everything they do, from dog treats to fabric printing to stickers to you name it, up in the business end of things, to the metal shop and student projects and adult projects, to the art. Mr. Helzer will have his own art ceramics out, and students will have stuff out. We did it, and in the wood shop as well. And we did this last year. We have a live auction, and then we have a silent auction as well. So there's everything from just what stuff kids create, what we do at Buffalo High School and that end of the learning, to stuff you can buy. So it was great last year. Chef Sam this year is going to do the dessert end of things. So there will be all of these little pastries that have some fancy name. I don't know what it is, but he brought us some samples, and they're worth coming for. So would invite you all to do that too. Just a great time. So really, when it comes to trying to wrap things up at Buffalo High School, we're just trying to wrap things up. Seniors will get done next week. Then we look at how to finish the rest of the kids and their schedule. And so we develop a final schedule. That is May 31st, 1st, and 2nd of June. And kids will take 1, 3, and 5 on the 31st, 2, 4, 6 on the 1st, and then 7 and 8 on the 2nd. So we break it up for the kids so that they're not overwhelmed with tests. We also do locker cleanup and some checkout stuff during those days as well, to try to break it up and give kids a break between an assessment. And what I ask teachers to do is to have some sort of a culminating activity. It does not have to be paper, pencil, test. It can be a project, but it should be something reflective of the semester's work. So that's kind of where we go. And as you know, the PE department will haul the kids up the road, and they'll run down the trail, and some of those kids get back on and do it again, and it's kind of fun. So, mm-hmm. So that's where we're headed in the next couple of weeks at Buffalo High School.
Questions?
When will the ACT scores be available?
Well, that's a great question. I would not look for them before July. Truth is, I'm hopeful it'll be July, but I'm not positive. Last year we got them the first or second week of July. This year we took the test date was a little bit later, so I imagine the scores are going to be a little later than that.
Any questions? Thanks, Kim.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you.
Mr. Austin.
Okay, director's reports. So, any questions of facilities, nutrition, or technology that can be answered here tonight?
Madam Chair. So,
John, you wanted to change your MOU for the Buffalo Community Center. I think the question you're asking, for me anyhow, is covered under number 3. And if it isn't covered there, it's under number 7, approval for fencing, because the district holds ultimately whether they can fence it or not. And so if you say, yeah, you put a fence in, but you have to maintain the grass in it, I kind of, you know, you certainly get Mr. Kirvin's opinion, but I think under those 2 paragraphs, it's certainly covered.
And that's it, renews in 3 years, so if you're not, you covered then.
Excuse me?
Because that's a 3-year MOU, if I read that right.
Might be. I can pull it up.
But yeah.
But 3 years with a 5-year extension.
Right.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about it. It's just a non.
Okay, I just wanted to throw that out there. With,
But like I said, I think for me it's covered.
And I'm just
going to
ask the same. Is there anything you need from us for the MOU?
I don't think so. I just wanted to inform you guys of the information that they got their grant and they're wanting to fence that off. I don't see an issue, but just with the time and the upkeep of around that fence and all that. I don't want to have one of our people damage one of their raspberry bushes, and you're buying, we're buying a bush. So,
has the communication between the groups been pretty good? Or?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. It's miscommunication about communication, but we got through that.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Zink? Fields are starting to look green. Has the water been turned on yet?
Yep.
That ditch, wherever that ditch
is. The ditch will come on next week. The raw water line is on. The last one is mono DPHS. The grades will come on tomorrow. We had a little issue with the backflow preventer at VHS, so I'm closing off till we get a rebuild kit for the backflow preventer. I just don't want to put too much pressure on that system at this point to have it leak again. But the ditch will be coming on Wednesday. Someone did some construction and hit the pipe. So, waiting for that part to show up so we can fix the pipe and it'll get us water.
And just comment, John, I'm glad to see that there was no asbestos in the roof.
That was huge.
Yeah, that would save you a lot of money.
Mr. Austin?
Okay, so any other questions for the directors? All right, Madam Chair, on to the superintendent's report. So with that, I entertain any questions that you as a board of trustees might have with my report.
I was glad to see that the TAC 1 training went well and we eliminated a lot. I mean, I had some conversations that they were afraid they were going to scare the little ones, and that did not happen. It was hide and seek. And
we have quiet little ninjas that float through the elementaries. So with that, I mean, overall, there's a survey that went out to come back, part of our school safety plan. It's a 3-year plan with TAC 1, so we tentatively got them on the schedule for next year. So with that, we'll take the survey information and move from there with how we fund that. But that is a 3-year training session that we'll move forward with. Okay. All right, on to curriculum. We're going to go from there. Questions for Dr. Miller?
Madam Chair, I'd like to add that today people in the office think I'm crazy, and all apologies to you, Mr. Moon, but it is officially data season. The YTOP window closed on Friday, so now it's a busy time to gather all the data, organize it, get some information out to our principals so they can make some good choices for the upcoming school year. And also, I just wanted to bring out Mrs. Hausman real quick. I asked her to come. She thinks she's coming here to talk about how she came up with her biology textbook. In reality, though, Ms. Hausman, you are our district's teacher of the year. And I asked you to provide some remarks as well. So.
So if you don't know much about Ms. Hausman, she's been in Johnson County School District for 16 years. First 2 years were at the middle school. I did some research today. 8 years in California before that, including teaching in an international baccalaureate program. If you're not familiar with that, that's some high-stakes stuff. So that's like top end. When Ms. Hausman got to Buffalo High School, she essentially rebuilt our biology program, including brought on AP Bio. So that's something that she started at Buffalo High School. She sponsors our SAVE Club, which is Students Against Violating the Earth. And I included it in my board report, in fact, so that her group did go to elementary school and help the little ones. She sponsors the Teton Science Expedition for our kids. She also takes students every 2 years, every other year, somewhere in Europe or somewhere cool. So in June, you're taking off for France and Italy with a group of kids. 2 years, you're looking at Australia. Okay, so she is a teacher that is truly respected by her kids, and kids in her class just love it. Some of them don't appreciate the cats. I walk in and I'm like, let's get some cats, because that's my favorite one.
I like cats. No.
But kids truly appreciate and respect Ms. Hausman. She is always involved. Even prom, she shows up and says, I'm going to go help. So I appreciate that about you. So congratulations, Ms. Hausman.
Thank you.
Two comments. One, if you ever watched the show Friends with Smelly Cat, it actually came from her room. Oh my gosh. That's your smelling room.
I played that song when we started.
Oh, is that right? And I talked to a young man just yesterday. He's working on his doctorate and in physical therapy, and he said if it wasn't for you, he would be behind the eight ball. So even though he's working on his doctorate, he has relied heavily on your courses. So awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
So just so you know, you added a lot of stress to Mr. Miller's life on how to get you here. So.
I was like, should I bring the books? He's like, if you think it'll make for a better presentation. Look at this book. It's garbage. Look at this book. It's beautiful.
So with that, Madam Chair, we're looking to put up a recognition plaques and do something every year that we can add to, and then have a plaque for that individual teacher for the year. So we are currently in the process of looking to do something a little different to recognize our staff. We also took the time to go around and recognize all teachers that were nominated and get a certificate from there. So I greatly appreciate all the work that Dr. Miller put into this, and with a lot of great teachers that were recognized, and the selection process, from my understanding, was difficult, but that's a good thing. So thank you, everybody, that put in the time. Okay?
Anybody else? Thank you so much, Mrs. Hausman. I sat in on her interview 16 years ago, and it was on video. And I, as soon as they started their interview, I said, "We want that person. I want that person." So appreciate that. Let's see, where are we? Business report.
Yeah. Nope, we're going to do special service.
Thank you. I'm all. See what you do to me, Mrs. Hausman.
There was a lot in my board report this time, but I wanted to take the opportunity to express gratitude. We just returned back from the LRP conference that was in Kentucky. I took two other staff members with me. We've actually requested some, I would like to present to you the information that we acquired while we were there. It's vast. That is a conference that it is unsurpassed. It is put on by a huge group of special education lawyers and nobody believes me until they go, and so I would love it. I would like to invite all of you to come next year if I can afford to take all of you, because it is unlike anything I've ever been to before. And so we learned lots of things that we are doing really well here, but there are things that we can always grow and learn. And so I am requesting some time during a work session so that we can present that information to you, just because it is far bigger than what should be explored at a board report. But it was an opportunity of a lifetime, so I thank you for that.
Any other questions for Val?
Yes, sir, I do have a question for you. So you guys went to that, and they give you the legals on what can happen in special ed. Mm-hmm. Does the state of Wyoming send you an update? Say, like, the, if you're an accountant or the IRS, they send you updates as to what the new laws are. Does someone from the state send those to the special education directors?
Well, we have a conference. That's usually a SWASIA. We meet, and they do their best. They try, not in this kind of detail, I guess, but they do. We get updates from OCR as well, the federal government, and then when the state gets some of those updates, they send it on to us. There are different opportunities that you can, and it's off the top of my head, I can't remember the program, but they do offer it actually through LRP, that organization, that you can look up any sort of court cases. There are so many. And that was my favorite. I've been to this conference numerous times over the years just because when I first started and I asked for advice, I said, how on earth do you stay up on all of the different law? I mean, it's constantly changing every day. And they said, don't miss this conference for anything. And so I've made it almost every year since I've started as an administrator, both as a principal and a special ed director, just because it is such a huge amount of information. But they open every session with someone that literally says, this court case happened on this date, this was the decision, this is how it will affect you. They go to the next one. I videotape it because you can't even possibly write notes fast enough. And then we go back and review that information when we get home. And then usually the rest of the sessions are based on the decisions that they were making. So I try to take numerous people with me because there are so many things offered that if there's no way that one person could possibly get to all of them. And so there were three of us that went, we chose a different path. So one of the areas that I've seen a lot of legislation in is and decisions being made is the difference between that 504 and the IEP. And so I felt that was an area that I needed some advisement in. And so I went to all of those that I could go to. To Connie Frederick, she went to behavior because that's something that's kind of plaguing our district right now. And so she went to the sessions that were about behavior. Anyway, I would love to present it all to you just because we learned more than I can ever imagine.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
No, I just want to reinforce that when we talked about the budget, we start talking about looking at efficiencies. I want to be want you to know as a board of trustees, professional development, whether it's PLCs, whether it's teacher evaluation systems, across the board, is what high functioning districts do and support. Special ed is something that, you know, a couple years ago, where she's at, we're $1 million in the hole. Referencing that with legal, if there's one area that you can get in a lawsuit real quick with, is special education, so making sure you're up to date with that piece. Technology, with everything we have coming across the board, making sure that administrators are supported and our teachers are supported. So part of that professional development will be finding efficiencies so we can continue to support that type of professional development and leveraging those funds especially IDA 611 and 619, whether it's either one of those funds or the new ESSER funds for special ed to support that, and our Title IIA will be other federal funds that we use to support professional development in our district, okay? With the goal to clean up what were currently 3 years of federal funds that have not fully been expended. The goal, when I say efficiencies, is I don't, a year from now, want to be in the same boat where we're trying to expend federal funds that are 3 or 4 years old based on deadlines, that we leverage those funds so annually we are expending federal funds according to what we have so that we can kind of maintain that budget.
If I can add, I did use federal funds. We used 16 funds to pay for this professional development.
Okay, business report. Any questions for Don with the business report? I know we'll have more questions for our preliminary budget, but any questions for Don with our current business report?
So this is just the current, not what we've been discussing.
This is your monthly business report.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for him?
So, Madam Chair, I don't know who the question needs to go to. I asked Charles this morning. I don't know that I got an answer, but I didn't get an answer. So we bought a pickup, and it exceeded the $25,000. Does that, according to state statute, have to go out for bid? But we didn't do that. So what?
So in that presentation, so Madam Chair, I presented to you as a Board of Trustees on March 18th, Tracy Copenhaver's answers to our budget day. And in that, they don't consider vehicles to be as a part of the supply. So when I called another business manager and asked who's well respected around the state if those protocols fall, as long as it falls with under that $50,000, he said we were okay with that. If you as a Board of Trustees, if there's something that I did wrong as a superintendent, I will fully own that. But in that promise, the maintenance department was supposed to be budgeted that. You'll see a budget amendment because the money wasn't put where it needed to be to make that supply. But in the process, and I can reshare this letter with you as a Board of Trustees, it basically states there, I don't consider automobiles or buses to be a supply piece. And so if it's over $50,000, then we'd have to go out for a competitive bid. But I'm willing to go back to Tracy Copenhaver. And if there's a violation with that, I accept that. I own that full responsibility. John came to me several times. I made phone calls. But from my understanding with what I did, it was with under state statute, and that's the protocol that we did follow.
I feel like this is the second time we talked. Sorry, Madam Chair. I feel like this is the second time we talked about this, correct? And we had the letter from Tracy before. Tracy's our...
It is, and so my failure as a superintendent to communicate the correct way and procedures of what we're doing, I will try to clean that piece up. But when we talked about supplies, it came back to that conversation of what we're doing with curriculum, what that falls under.
Right.
I also brought it to your attention that through our federal audits, that when we presented that, we were out of compliance. And Tracy Copenhaver's letter stated right here, your policy is definitely outdated. So that's why we're adopting the new procurement policy written by Tracy Copenhaver and the Wyoming Department. Through the Wyoming Department, not the Wyoming School Boards Association, to align to how we follow procurement policies with our federal grants. So I will continue to work better at that. I will be on board with our new business manager, and we will clean up some of that stuff. But I will report back to you as a Board of Trustees where we are with the purchase of that building.
Was that started last year?
It was within the budget last year.
So, Charles, just for clarification, I don't have a problem with it. I just want to make sure that we follow the statute when I get the bill. That's my point.
Any other questions? Rec Board.
Madam Chair, do we want Don to continue with the...
No, he will do that. Okay.
So Don will... This report is just for his financial report.
He'll be in the action items.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
All right, Rec Board. We have this year $493,000 worth of requests, which is significantly more than the money we have to give out. So we're going to have to roll up our sleeves and do some work. We have 37 grant requests this year, and we'll be conducting the interviews the next three nights. Tomorrow night we'll be in KC, and then Wednesday and Thursday we'll be up here to conduct the rest of the in-person interviews, and then the applicant should know shortly after that.
Did you say how much money you have to give out?
That's still a moving target. Possibly, I'm guessing maybe $330,000.
So,
$340,000? Yeah, I guess. Jack will have the latest figures for us tomorrow night.
Any questions for Mr. Brown? BOCES, they're wrapping up their school year, getting ready to transfer one director to a new one. That was probably their biggest, and they're still, like everybody else, having a terrible time hiring. Even though they upped their salary, they're still just having a really bad time getting any applicants. So, we'll continue that.
Coaches, we had a audio meeting, and basically what it was 5 minutes, and we passed the preliminary budget for BOCES, and I just got a letter that we will be sending money to the Campbell County College starting July 1st.
I want to back up just 1 second with BOCES, and I was listening to the board members' roundtable, and Mr. Oski, they were talking over in Riverton that they use BOCES for stuff training. Do you know anything about that?
BOCES or BOCES?
No, I thought they were saying BOCES.
Someone's got to change on that.
So can BOCES be involved with stuff training?
So it's a consortium, so there could be some training depending on how things are set up in those regional areas. So that's a conversation. If you're talking BOCES and not BOCES.
I could have sworn these are BOCES.
Okay, so then that would be a question as that we could talk about with the BOCES to when you're have that meeting with them of what that looks like regionally. Okay.
I'll ask the question if you ask the question.
So sub-training could be let's be transparent. The BOCES is going to change. I'm going to just be very honest when I say this. The splitting of Sheridan College and Gillette College, right now, Gillette College still falls under Sheridan College's accreditation. So over time, that Gillette has a task of putting things together, putting their curriculum together, so they can become fully accredited. When that happens, the discussion has already started that the BOCES, that Dave sits on and represents this board, and that we are collecting half a mill on, is going to then be different. So there's the conversation about whether Sheridan County starts their own BOCES. Gillette is obviously going to keep their own BOCES. And so that leaves Johnson County as out here determining where we're going to go. A majority of all of our stuff comes through currently through Sheridan College with our collaboration with them. So there's going to be some, I would say, tough decisions down the road of what that's going to look like, but that is on the platform of discussions that will be happening in the future with BOCES funding. More importantly, as a reminder, to concurrent and dual enrollment, what we do with Bomber Mountain and Sheridan College, those are all some pretty strong relationships that are currently happening through Sheridan College and their accreditation piece. So With that, we'll be working with the institution right now, which is Sheridan College, which is the accredited one, to make sure we continue the same programs for next year. But how that funded and what our Bochy's funds go to is definitely a question that we'll have to ask down the road. Because there's a substantial difference in what Campbell County receives for Bochy's funds and what Sheridan County does. So what funds we actually get, we'll just need to be very clear.
Any other questions? All right, at this time, you said at the last meeting we were going to do something a little bit different with leadership governance, and Vice Chair Monette has volunteered to do it this month and next month. So
I did?
Yes.
Do you remember? Yeah, well, you're off the hook. So 2.9, leadership governance 2.9 refers to labor relations. The board will establish guidelines for compensation discussion process for administration certified and classified personnel. The board will adopt compensation and benefit plans for all employees. The board will commit an allocation for compensation and benefits based on factual data from the superintendent. The board will be responsible for the superintendent's contract, benefits, compensation, and evaluation. Then under the superintendent will develop and recommend to the board compensation and benefit plans for the district's personnel. The superintendent will provide factual data to the board and or salary and benefits committee for the adoption of compensation schedules and or salaries. The superintendent will administer contracts and or agreements in accordance with all legal requirements. And then we'll head down to...
Maybe we have any discussion on that.
Okay.
Any questions? Or it's pretty black and white. Okay.
Yeah. Then we'll head on to down to 2.10, the student services. The board will adopt district policies for student services. The board will focus the district on learning and achievement for all students. The board will require that the superintendent develop, implement, and maintain administrative procedures for maintaining student services to ensure a safe and appropriate educational environment. The superintendent will take reasonable steps to ensure a school environment that is safe, conducive to the learning process, and free from unnecessary disruption. The superintendent will develop and implement administrative procedures to maintain adequate student services. And number three, the superintendent will develop and implement administrative procedures to deal with emergencies.
Again, another pretty straightforward. Any questions or comments?
So, Madam Chair, from my point, having a board member present this is really going to be a really great benefit to accreditation process, to understanding the role that the board has to play. So, as individual board members are taking a responsibility and role with actually reading it and presenting it to you as a board of trustees, I think is super positive for accreditation. So.
Any other comments? All right. Moving on down to action items. May I have a motion? The consent agenda. May I have a motion to accept the consent agenda as presented minus the employment?
So moved.
May I have a second, please?
Second.
All those in favor signify by, well, discussion. The recreation mill levy and the Bochy's mill levy will remain the same. I thought that was important to say. So any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, we're down to our action items and to policy for second reading. Maggie, you want to come on up so we can ask you some questions? Well, Ms. Leverett, she did not blow away from Saturday of being out in a 50-mile-an-hour wind for 12 hours.
Neither did you. We're sturdy.
We are. We are. So, these are all for second reading. May I have a motion for policy GCCAA, sick leave bank? We have a motion.
So moved.
You have a second? Discussion. Maggie made some changes. The committee made a few just changes. Am I right or no? Was this not having any changes?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
So between the time that the committee met and
just words,
this meeting, I brought some additional concerns that were raised to the work session. And so there were two additional revisions presented at the work session.
But not enough that we have to start over again.
No.
Am I correct? No. Did everyone have the time to look it over? So, all in favor of the sick leave bank, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. May I have a motion for IB, academic freedom?
So moved. Now discussion.
Now discussion.
Madam Chair, I would like to table the academic freedom policy to go back to the policy committee for further review, possible some wordsmithing. When they meet in the fall.
Did you have any specifics you'd like to go with, or just?
I would like some clarification in some words in the first paragraph, the perpetuation of our American form of democracy. I would like to take a closer look at that and have some discussion around the possible American Republic. Just looking at some of those, I think the words matter, super important, and so I would like to table that and have it further looked at by the policy committee.
Okay, I need some help here.
Now we just vote it down.
Do what?
So
vote it down and then we'll table it.
If there isn't a second.
There was.
Yes.
Well, there was.
Oh.
We had discussion.
Oh, gotcha.
So now we have to vote down the first motion.
Okay.
That's when that comes off or second motion.
Gotcha. May I have a motion? All those in favor of excuse me. All those in favor of motion academic freedom signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
And then I.
So, Madam Chair, just as a quick discussion. So, in some of the feedback that we've got on this, I heard a lot of positive things about the committee. So, I want the committee and the members of the committee to know that a lot of good conversations are happening. But these three policies that are in front of you, we need to make sure we wordsmith them correctly. In such a way, these are going to be policies that we're probably going to have to defend, not us, not when, but not if, but when, have to be defended with everything that's happening. So taking the time and inviting you two as board members to these policy committee meetings to kind of tweak and make sure this is what you as a board would like, I think is something that is really going to be beneficial. So. Just want to push that out there. The committee that puts a lot of work into this, it's just a couple things that have been presented that I think would be good for the committee to talk about before we bring it back to the board. Okay?
Madam Chair, I would also like to reiterate that I attended my first policy meeting weeks ago. I was extremely impressed with how things are ran. I appreciated the very involved discussion. And I personally would have never realized the work that that goes into these, and so thank you for that. Thank you for heading that, and thank you for taking my concerns into consideration. I'm excited to kind of follow up on this in the fall. So.
Okay. We will make sure that you are invited to that first meeting of the fall.
So that I make a motion?
So, Madam Chair, a question. How long can you table something? I think there's a timeline, and I don't recall what it is. Does anybody know?
I don't.
Do you?
Is it till the next meeting?
I thought it was 30 minutes.
But they're not meeting again. The committee's not meeting again until the fall.
No.
So I guess we need to postpone it until the fall. We've already
over the summer.
So maybe we don't even need to find that. We've already voted it down, and we'll just bring it back to the fall.
But we have to start all over again.
So
with
this is
first
your
reading.
Okay, well, what,
but
I
that's
mean, all right. It is what it is. I mean, they don't have to start all over. We just have to bring it before the board twice.
So, Mary, it was voted down. So, if we don't
table it,
if we don't pass the table a motion, then it will be brought back.
Do we have a policy though right now? If we
vote
down,
it'll just stay as it was.
Already.
So you still have a policy. This policy committee is doing nothing but rewording and revising words. So
if there is a 30 days, like Dave is saying, so they're not meeting again.
And I'm not sure of that area. So for some reason, that's just in my mind. But it doesn't matter if you don't table it, okay?
Right.
So if we voted it down.
Right. So we probably
our existing policy is still in place, and then you can revisit it in the fall.
Yeah.
I'm learning all these rocks.
It will not self-destruct.
Okay. Thank you. Next, IHAL, teaching about religion. May I have a motion, please, to accept the policy?
So
moved. And a second?
Second.
Discussion.
I think this goes right along with what Lynette was just saying. So I propose we vote it down and bring it back up in the fall. Isn't that all three of these, Lynette? It's just the first one?
I thought it was, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about all of them.
No.
Okay, never mind. Ignore my discussion on that one.
And these are hard. I mean, I've probably read these 20 times trying to
get them.
Because, like you said, words matter. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Policy passes. IMB, teaching controversial issues. And I have a motion.
I'll second.
Discussion.
Madam Chair, I would like to take this one back to the policy committee for some words, I think, as well.
Any specific areas?
Yes. So we'll go to the last paragraph, and I won't read the whole thing. It's basically the last two lines. The teacher also has the obligation to be as objective as possible and to present several sides of an issue in a fair manner. Although the teacher has the right to express their own viewpoints and opinions, they do not have the right to indoctrinate students to personal views. And I would just like to take some more something on that as well.
I don't think you probably, I mean, my opinion is you don't need to express your concern right now, because if it's going to come back to the committee, that can be part of our discussion as we think about the appropriate language to use.
Any other discussion?
It's not really an opinion, it's just words and
parts. Right, absolutely.
It's not rewriting the policy. Any other discussion? All those in favor? of the motion, signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion fails. First reading. For policy DJ.
So moved. I move that we accept policy DJ.
Second. Discussion.
I actually would like for us to approve the Wyoming School Board Association policy. So my discussion would be is I don't want this one to pass.
Did I say that one right?
No, you said it right.
Okay. But doesn't it say
that is the spirit a lot of changes to
so the proposal is to adopt the Wyoming School Board
so
Association.
So I made the
correct.
Wrong motion.
Yes, that's
yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
So we'll pass that motion and then bring in another motion to correct?
Correct.
You need to vote down that motion.
Correct.
Right.
As said, and then you need to bring up the other motion.
Okay. All those in favor of policy DJ, signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Then we need to recommend the district bring in the policy by the Wyoming School Board Association, policy DJ.
I'll make a motion to accept that.
You have a second?
Second.
Discussion. It's pretty much cut and dry.
It's a good policy to follow. Maggie,
that would
thing?
Be the recommendation of the committee.
Wonderful.
Any other discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Or the same sign. We adopted the SBA policy with DJ. Thank you.
Thank you, Maggie.
And Maggie, thank you. That's a tough committee to be in charge of. I really like the way you run the meetings.
They're great people to work with. Everybody
yeah.
does a really great job. So.
Yeah.
Runs very smoothly.
I was part of that.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Hansen. So I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Okay, that moves us to preliminary budget.
So if you want to make a motion and go on discussion with Don, that would be where we're at.
May I have a motion to accept the preliminary budget as presented?
Second.
Discussion.
I would like for us to finish Mr. Heil. Is that how you pronounce it? Finish his discussion before we vote on it, if that's at all.
Mr. Geely's, yeah, he can finish
his presentation. All right. Could I take you to the mill levy estimate page, the third from the back? I believe, unless you want to revisit it, that we completed. Yes, assessed valuation. If the prior page. Cash reserve was completed to your satisfaction, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. Kind of rushed that, but okay, very good. An estimate of the upcoming county assessed valuation, I put it at $282 million. After a discussion with a gentleman at the assessor's office. The locally assessed, which is basically pretty much real property, is estimated to go up 16%, 1/6. Not knowing what the mineral increase would be, I put that at 10. That's a smaller portion of the entire valuation at this point in time. Coming up with $282 million, unfortunately, that's pretty preliminary. It might be $275, it might be $290, but this is the best I could do. that would put the 25 mil levy at slightly over 7 million, the 6 mil at 1.692 million, your half mil Bochy's would generate 141,000 at that level, and your 1 mil recreation levy would generate 282,000. Again, this is preliminary but necessary for me to basically try to determine the local funding versus the state funding in the upcoming year. There are no questions on that page. I'll move to the next.
Any questions?
So just real quick to help with Don, so what that means is we're going to get less foundation payments once we get these local taxes. So local taxes are going to increase our local revenues, but what that means is we're going to get a decrease in our state funding, what we receive monthly. So you're going to see a correspondence when you see some of the other reports, is our monthly payment from the state is going to be less next year. Part of that is due to, again, how the funding model produces, but a lot of that is going to also be based on these numbers that you're predicting here, because they're predicting we're going to get more local taxes. So there is a correlation with why we're looking at our assessed values.
Yeah, to put that into perspective, your state foundation payments this year will total about $13.5 million. For next year, I'm predicting $11 million in state foundation funding. So more local, less state. The really important point is you get a guarantee regardless of your local wealth, and that guarantee amount will be met regardless of the makeup of the state and local. On the following page, I just wanted to reassure you that the cash flow during the year under this proposed budget would be sufficient. As you can see, beginning the year with $3.8 million on the 1st of July, the balances, when you subtract the expenditures at the monthly revenue, would stay above $3 million, getting all the way up to over $7 million when a lot of the local taxes would be received in December and January. Until you get to June, then you've got basically there is no foundation payment in June.
Are you in June 2023?
Yeah, June, Madam Chair, June 2023, you see $3 million $3 million in revenue, but because the three contracts for certified payroll are paid that month, there's a huge expenditure. Unusual expenditure, and in this scenario, your year-end cash would be $3.4 million. Basically, I'm saying you're going to spend $22.4 million, have a revenue of $22 million. I think it's a fairly reasonable assumption that you may have to supplement the budget by about $400,000, but again, that could be less than that. It's just difficult to project that level right now. And below that, a couple notes, that $11,000 or $11 million in foundation revenue would arrive at those levels from August through May, and that would make up your state foundation $11 million. Any questions on that I can help you with? Moving to the final page, I'll have to call on Superintendent Oski to help with this because I'm just not that familiar with all the grants that have been awarded to your district. However, the $5.5 million budget for special revenue grants on the first page of this presentation, this is simply a breakdown of the various state and federal grants, and after a meeting with district personnel, these are the approximate budgets that were assigned to each of those state and federal grants.
So here's where the confusion might come in. So I'm going to use a real easy example. So if you go to ESSER 3, it has $1.8 million. If you see our ESSER 3 grant, it's actually $3.6 million. These are projected expenditures for that year, knowing that grant we're going to expend over 3 years. So what you're seeing here is the projected amount of expenditures out of some of these grants. It's not the total amount that's available. So just to simplify this is what we try to predict that we could expend. These are the funds that we plan to leverage. Your Title IIA has a different sunset than some of these others. So each grant is going to have a different sunset of when things need to be totally expended. And most of your normal grants are 18 months. As were the ESSER 3 funds, we have a little bit lengthier peak. So even if you go to ESSER 2 funds, 1.2, it's a $1.6 million grant, but that's the expenditure that we predict that we could expend next year, with a big portion of that being MetalArc. There's a $500,000 right there with that, or it could be a little bit more. So these don't necessarily represent all the funds that are available in each one of these federal grants. It's just a prediction of what we could expend next year based on projections of where we are. So I just want to make sure that everybody understands, if you see those numbers, we're not trying to manipulate anything, but theoretically the way the ESSER 3 grant and the way I wrote that out is $1.8 million. Well, the 3.6 was projected to spend over a three-year period of time. If you go to, can you find the BILT grant? There it is, called the Wyoming BILT grant. All right, it's $1.5 million, but we've only actually budgeted $500,000 because that grant is going to be expended over 3 years. So hopefully that kind of helps explain when we talk about federal grants. Okay? So simply put, there's more money in federal grants than we're showing here today, because these are just projected expenditures.
Yearly expenditures.
Yep.
With that, Madam Chair, that concludes my presentation. I would, at this point, turn it over to you. And just one reminder, this is the preliminary budget. The final budget presented to you in July may vary from this. I'm out. With that, I'd stand for any questions.
Any questions? Mr. Howell, one of the things that I'm still not clear on is in April, you predicted an $858,000 deficit shortfall, what we're going to have. And you thought our budget at that time was going to be $21.4 million. But today you're predicting it to be $23.065 million, which is a $1.665 million difference. What made the changes there?
Okay. I'll take you to the page.
Yeah, and maybe I missed, maybe it's on the first page that I didn't. Is the $1.665 million, is that coming out of reserves?
Basically, if you would go to the summary of fiscal year 2023 revenues, it's about the fourth page in.
Cash reserve? No.
Summary of revenues. The fourth page in on that, I believe. Yeah. And the top figure is, not it, Steve. Go back to general fund revenue, Steve. There you go. Okay. Okay. The foundation guarantee, Madam Chair, 21.4 million, basically, rounding that off, was my first estimate. But there are additional revenues that are non-foundation revenues that are listed here, $270,000, $20,000, and $333,000, to bring that total general fund revenue available up to $22 million. So those are general fund revenues that are available to support that budget, and then the total from the $22 million to the $23 million expenditure budget would require $1 million in reserves to balance that. If that makes sense.
So to help answer that question, so when he earlier presented this to you, to me as a draft, and to you, Don was just trying to gather all the information that he had access to, so he came up with that. So since then, we've tried to collect all the principals and supervisors' budgets, and you heard the word that was talked about, under consideration. So we've taken everybody's under consideration budgets. We're presenting to you potentially a $1 million in use of carryover to budget next year's funds, which, looking at that, still gives us about $3 million in flexibility. But what he didn't include in that is also that $500,000 contingency that I asked in there. So that increases what those expenditures are. We looked at probably about $200,000. So when we're saying it went from $800,000 shortfall to $1 million, that's still just a projection. This is a temporary budget approval. It'll be something now between and July 1st when we have that budget meeting. It's going to be the question of an absolute need or a want, having that conversation with Connie, what that looks like. So there is some confusion with that, and I definitely get that, Dave, with what that looks like. Because right now, we've actually met with all the administrators, and I've asked them to put together what do we actually feel we need. And now that we know where we're kind of landing, then we're going to come back and start to tighten the budget up and see where we can use, like we talked about, federal grants to leverage some of these expenses if we can. We're also going to talk about what do we use short-term to support with federal funds, like our one-time or one-year contracts. So it is a little different right now. I'm hoping with the hiring of Connie, we can get that a lot tighter before our June budget work session that I'm going to request the board that we have in addition to the salary piece. So when he also projected there was a shortfall in revenue, he didn't figure in some of my goals of supporting our I feel our most important resources, and that's our teachers, our parents, and our employees with the EMS study that's coming out. So doing those steps and lanes, changing the classified schedule, that was additional $300,000 potentially of what that looks like too. So there is a discrepancy. I will own part of that, and Don just presented information based on what he could find. This is not a guarantee, but it is a rough estimate of where we're going at.
So, where does EMS fit into all of this? Is that a good question to ask? I mean,
yeah, once we get Connie on, I mean, some of our projections, and it's just draft, because as I stated, we haven't had EMS come in yet, but EMS has presented a rough draft of where our classified salary schedule needs to land. And so this is all preliminary stuff that until I get the business manager on board, I want to solidify and we'll present that to you guys of what those salary schedules look like. But the preliminary budget does include steps and lanes for all the certified staff, and it does include a rough estimate of what we could do for the classified staff to support them with the EMS.
Okay. So this is just the preliminary budget.
But to answer your question, Trustee Dulles, if you look at it purely apples to apples, what was your foundation guarantee a year ago? What do I predict the foundation will be next year? There is a $800,000 drop in that guarantee based on primarily a lower enrollment and secondarily the action taken by the state to lower their insurance premiums, which are passed on to the districts in lower funded insurance premiums for employees. A couple other factors. I believe your special education spending this year is going to be lower than the previous year, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it does lower the guarantee.
But it's reimbursable after a year.
It's reimbursable. And lower spending means more cash available for you.
And still taking into consideration the MOE, because there's some federal grants and federal laws we have to apply with that. But what confuses all this, to go into all this, is the state is not... Okay, politically, I know we're on the web, but I'm just saying, there was some gamesmanship played with how they funded the state insurance program, which reduced the amount of funding we get for schools. All right? So you're taking that into consideration. The state did not fund an ECA for school districts, but yet we want to give steps and lanes to support our teachers. So there's a reduction there as we want to support them in the classified. So the state and two WAMs, without the funding of insurance dropping down and not supporting it, so they're going down, our insurance costs are going up, with the fact is we didn't get an ECA, and you know, the lack of funding between like what a teacher salary is and how we're funded in the model. Those are all critical things that go into play when we're taking a look at this budget. So, but the other part that I want to look at is, talking with Don, we're at 82%, 83%, somewhere in that neighborhood of salaries and benefits that we use over an overall district budget. Some of the high-performing districts are operating on 85 to 86%. So like I said before, where do we find that 4 or 5% to really support our teachers and our resources? And so that means in supplies and some of those other materials. But also we're doing a guessing game. Gas prices have went up, which means food prices go up, which means there's a cost of doing general business. Electricity prices go up. So we're trying to figure all of that into a general budget. And in correct in saying, the 100 sometimes isn't set till mid-fall with that actual determination of what we're going to actually get for state funding because of all the moving parts that take place between now and then. There's also not a prediction of where we are with our shortfall I know the states and a lot of our leadership around the state has done tried to create a state laws that we don't have those big tax shortfalls, local tax shortfalls, and increase those payments that are more annual, so we won't have tax shortfalls eventually in the fall. But again, that's still an unpredictable that's really not figured into our formulas.
Thank you for your report.
Thank you.
Do you have any other questions before? So, may I have a motion to accept the preliminary budget as presented?
You've got a motion.
You already have it.
I do. I have a motion. You know, it's been so long. Well, all those in favor of the motion to accept the preliminary budget signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Next, may I have a motion to accept the budget amendment as presented by the business office?
So moved.
And a second? Jody, a second? Discussion? Discussion? Okay. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion passed. All right, this is something, well, I'll just have the motion first. We have a motion to accept the revision for the safe return to school and the ARP implementation.
Well,
yeah. We have a motion. Jody, second. Discussion. Mr. Roski, you said this has to be done every single
So we're covering all bases here. So we had an update from the Wyoming Department of Education at our superintendent's retreat. They talked about federal grants, and then they brought this up to play. Every 6 months, I have to bring to you as a board of trustees that an opportunity to revisit the plans and approve them in order to maintain our ESSER funds or our funding. So this is, I had the nurses go back and wordsmith if COVID was to come back, kind of what that plan is. This does not mean we are going back to COVID protocol. This is just a matter of an implementation plan. As we get more guidance that we can say as a board of trustees through audits, which we talk about federal grant audits, that we can come back to board policy to say that we revisited our return to safe plan and our ARP implementation plan. There's been no drastic changes to either one, with the understanding that the implementation plan will potentially change as we start looking at leveraging federal funds to support what we are doing. But if that does happen, that will be back in front of the board of trustees as well as the community to know what, how we adjusted that plan. Okay?
And this something has to be done by every 6 months.
Right. Very clearly said.
Yep.
Every 6 months, if you want to maintain your federal grants. However, they're not going to come in next week if we don't approve this and say you don't have that. What they're going to come back to do is when they audit you in 2 or 3 years, they could potentially come back and say, show to me that you updated your plan every 3 to 6 months. And if not, it was clearly stated there would be the potential of returning funds. So I'm just trying to play the game and the checklist to make sure that in 2 to 3 years, we're not trying to return our money.
Any other questions? Discussion? Okay, all those in favor of the motion that was presented signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed, same sign. Motion passed. Okay, our last one, board reorganization.
Jen, I think we still have one more after that.
Just I move that we approve the ARP.
Oh, I thought that was all with the same
implementation plan.
I'm sorry.
No. I'm just saying after the board recognition, you did move something out of consent items to action items, correct?
Didn't we put that,
no,
we put that in executive session?
Okay.
Do we need to redo the ARP or no?
You need to redo both.
It wasn't with the same one. I made the motion.
I thought you made the motion to do them both at once. But
yes, okay. Yeah, perfect. Yeah,
never mind.
Okay. Don't make me say that. All right. Now we're on. May I have a motion to accept the board's reorganization from a 9-member board to a 7-member board?
So moved.
Have a second?
Second.
Discussion.
So Jen, my discussion would be is as we are supposed to look into the future, it's getting harder and harder all the time to get people to serve on these boards. I know the county has had trouble getting people to serve. So that's one of the things, and I lost my train of thought there, that's one of the things that comes up to me. The other thing, we had a survey, I think 62 or 63% of the survey respondents said they would like to see us move towards it. And lastly for me, it's why don't we let the voters decide? So put it on the ballot and let the voters decide.
Madam Chair, I don't think we can go by any of the results from that survey. I mean, probably more than half asked what the survey was or how many we already had on the board. Like, I feel like we didn't send enough context with that to use those results.
Back me up. But what do we put on the ballot? I didn't think it was to go yes or no.
So through the work session, it doesn't go to the voters. So
no,
if it gets approved by...
Well, eventually. It would eventually...
No, it does not.
So once it goes to the State Board of Education, so the process is what they call the petition for the reorganization. Basically, it goes to the county commissioners for a boundary board. This is the way I understand it from our work session last week. Once that boundary board is put together, per Tracy Copenhaver and all the attorneys that were there on Wednesday, they have to have a 2-week notice. They'll have a public meeting, and that at that point in time, I'd like to see it both in KC and Buffalo, a public comment. You as a board of trustees would be there to answer it, but then this board, district boundary board, would take a vote. If that district boundary board approved this, then we would have to be put on the agenda with the State Board of Education for their approval, and then we would attend that meeting as a board, or selected members of the board would attend that meeting to answer questions for approval. At that point in time, with that approval, we would need a letter from the State Board of Education saying they're approved. And if I'm correct in saying what happened at the work session is we have to have that back here by July 1st, and then this voting season would come up. We would actually, for example, have out of 4 board members, 2 of them would be a 4-year term, the next 2 would be a 2-year term, and then the next election...
Just 3 would be a 4-year, 1 would be a 2-year.
So there was just a definition of... You as a board would get to choose how that kind of, what I call steps down over a period of time, over a 2-year election cycle, if I remember correct. Yeah. I do have one quick update, though. So the State Board of Education said in order for it to be on the June agenda, we need to have it to them by May 24th.
And this all has to be completed. When did they say it would have to be so they could put it on the ballot?
July 1st.
What's that?
July 1st.
July 1st.
So if you approve this tonight, we would start this first thing tomorrow morning and submit this petition. We would sign off on that, and then we'd start that process, and then the petition for reorganization, that timeline that was presented to you as a board of trustees, would kick into play.
Other discussion?
Madam Chair, just one clarification. I spoke with Vicki today.
Okay.
Her take on it was that the July 1st deadline that we talked about in the workshop is not a hard and fast deadline. Because this is, when that was mentioned, that was talking about primary ballots going out. This would not be on the primary ballot. It would only be on the general election ballot. And so somewhere around the 10th of August is when this would have to be presented to the clerk's office so that they can prepare the ballot for the general election.
So it does get voted on, Jim?
No. So what I'm talking about getting voted on is it will be just like every other election has been. There are three four-year terms to be voted on, 1 2-year term to be voted on. It's not a question of do the voters choose, does the board go for step down?
So if we do the step down, when would we get to the step
down? It would take a couple 3 years, I believe. 4 years, 5 years.
It would be following the election in 2024.
So in this document you have here, this is what we had taken from you as a board in the work session. So three members will be elected for a four-year term, one member elected for a two-year term. Then in 2024 election, four members would be elected to a four-year term.
I'm sorry, I missed that. I'm sorry. Okay.
So your 9 to a 7 member board, you wouldn't officially have a true 7 member board until after the election of 2024.
Madam Chair, I'd like to call a question.
Sensing no other discussion. All those in favor of the motion to reorganize the board from a 9-member board to a 7-member board, signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion fails. Okay, other business. Health insurance update 2023. Is that you, Ms. Broski?
Yes.
So is there any questions with the document that was presented to you as a board of trustees?
Charles, when you talk about the increase and you talk about $1,000 deductible, it would be an increase of a maximum of $15. Is that per month or per year?
Per month, from my understanding, yes.
So this, and again, this is just kind of an update with where insurance costs are going to land. Okay, so when I asked Rama to kind of present this through Don, this is a projection of kind of where we're going to land. So there is going to be a slight increase to everybody's plans without taking on the whole chunk of that increase of where we're at. So the average is saying 4% increase. 6% for dental, so it's kind of just on based on an average right now of where that looks. And if I want to use the word however, I guess I will in this section. I really want to sit down and look at how we fund insurance after the conversations we've had for the last couple months, so there's more of a long-term budgeting process of what that looks like so it's consistent. And because we know that is one variable that always does fluctuate up more than it does down, so that we don't end up with a funding cliff with insurance down the road and how we look at our benefit packages. So that will be something with the new business manager that we'll take a look at.
Any other questions? Moving on, professional development plan for the 22-23 year.
So basically looking for feedback, it's still, it's again for, and it's not only for accreditation, but it's part of that long-term planning. What do we plan to do to support teachers and what's that accountability piece look like so that we can come back to what are our goals, how do we fund and support professional development in this district. So I guess ultimately the plan is we're not going to be scrambling in August like we was this year about who's doing what, how we're doing it, and what the long-term goal is. Putting this PD plan together
And more importantly, that also, if you would please note, that includes you as a board of trustees, so we've included you in the process of professional development as we kind of move forward as a board and as an administrative team and what we do with our teachers. So any feedback from you as a board of trustees would be very beneficial to us, but I just wanted to make sure you were aware of the professional development plan we are putting together for 2022 through 2025. And the reason why we ended at 2025 is we'll need to revisit that, because we'll probably be at the end of our ESSER funds at that time. So by that time, we will have leveraged, is the key word, Don, leveraged everything that we need for professional development.
Well, I'm just glad to see a plan forward.
Thank you. Yes. Long-term plan.
You know, like you say, you're not going, well, what do you want to do on that first day of school? Buy some hamburgers? You know, I think it's good.
Good idea. You get grease on your glasses.
Okay, other business. We're on to graduation. And I guess we need to... I'm just smiling.
I know you are. I know you are.
We have three graduations. We'll start New West. How many of you will be there for New West graduation? When is that again?
It's the 29th. At 6 p.m. at Buffalo High School.
29th.
I understand Vice Chairman Foss would like to hand out the diploma.
I'll be there as well.
Chris, I'll be there.
Yeah, I'll try.
We'll need to ask Randy and all. Okay, KC?
28th.
28th at 7 p.m. at KC.
I'll be there.
I'm sorry, it's not, I'm trying to not do my job there. I'm out of town that whole week.
That's fine. We're not done.
I'm going to Buffalo High School, so.
And Chris, you'll end up with someone?
Sure, please.
Okay.
Buffalo High School.
The 22nd at 4 p.m. at the AJ. Who would like to hand out the phone? Mike and Mary.
Do I get my
last one? Oh, yeah.
So as the rookie superintendent, we'll probably, and concrete sequential that Charles is, we'll probably put a tentative schedule what time we arrive or how we go, or you as administrators, you probably don't want us showing up 2 minutes before graduation starts. So
yeah.
Probably a tentative schedule of when you'd like us there as board members, and if there's anything special that we need to be prepared for, because unlike them, I don't do well. I can get through the process, but don't ask for a quick 30-second together speech, okay?
Heidi, would you mind sending out the list of names to the schools? Because Madonna had asked me yesterday, and I said we'll have names for you. Yeah, we'll do that. Okay, sounds good. Anybody else have anything for the board? Johnny Board? I don't know if it's right to say right now. I am not really opposed to reorganization, I think. But it's, for me, it just was not the time to do it. So I might be spinning a different tune here at this time next year. So. June work session.
So, Jen, as the chairman of the board, can I just... I just want to, as a superintendent, if that's a journey we you as a board want to go down, I think it would be fair from the survey, like Kristen said, is to have those community meetings so that they really know. If you look at this, if you look at what we put in here, we have to be able to summarize in front of the Board of Education to be able to demonstrate an anticipated improvement in education. So being able to say we met with the community of KC, the community of Buffalo, before we go to this board and have specific goals of what we want to achieve out of this, I think would be something that would be super beneficial that we look in, because what we currently have here, I did try to reference the Lighthouse study
and what that looks like, and effective boards, how do you go from a 9 to a 7, and how does that impact academics, and how, where do those efficiencies come from? So you know, we can take the time, we can still do it appropriately, but there are some key things that we have to look at when we present, okay, over a period of time.
And just to add one last comment, it was at that meeting we were told this to going from a 9 to 7 has never happened unless a district has reorganized itself, combined, consolidation. And they said never that they can remember. Now, if you go back further, maybe, but I'll say in the last 30 years, unless the district has consolidated. Is
yeah.
that what you understand?
The number of members on a board of trustees was set in Wyoming history based on when consolidation took place statewide. Okay. Since there's been boundary adjustments made by boards, but this potentially is the first time there would be an actual reduction in numbers or increase in numbers of board members based on this process. So, as Tracy Copenhaver explained, it is a little it's new territory for a lot of people.
Any other comments? The June work session will be, June 8th at 5:15. And the regular board meeting will be June 13th at 6 o'clock.
So with that, Jan, there's one thing that we'll add to that. We're trying to get EMS scheduled to be there that day for the work session also. And then an understanding that there will be a budget June work session sometime when we're ready to present. Yes. And potential student data.
Just give us one second. What's the final statute for going in? Is that a section for May I have a motion to go into executive session as per Wyoming Statute 16-4-405?
I'll make that motion or second. We'll have one of the others.
You have a second? Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.